I have different services in my business. So basically, we're a concierge travel assistant. Everything that they need in El Salvador, we can assist with it. For example, if they need real estate for rent or to buy, and if they need a car, we can help them to buy a car, or we can help them to rent a car. If they want to move to El Salvador and they need the residential or citizenship, we can assist with that. We do tours too. This is the way that I started. And then I realized that people want to move to El Salvador, not just to visit El Salvador.
Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedman, and our guest today is Sandy Waves, who runs a tourism company in El Salvador. Today, we're going to be talking about what exactly you can expect from working with her, as well as some of the best places to visit in Bitcoin country. We're going to get to our interview with Sandy right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with the Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. Sandy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Josh, for inviting me. It's a pleasure for me to be here and share my Bitcoin experience and all I learned about Bitcoin.
So I like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and give us some insight for our own lives. Are you ready for these?
Yes, I'm ready.
Question number one is this: when and how did you first learn about Bitcoin?
That's an interesting question. Everyone suffered during the quarantine. And I did too, because I went to bankrupt at the time. But the first day of quarantine, I moved from the city. I sold all my business, all the stuff that I have in my previously business, that it was a clothing design company. So I was like thinking, I'm not going to be stuck in the city. I was just looking the news and looking that everyone was locking down for, they said that the first time, like just 2 or 3 weeks, and it was 3 months later. So I was guessing that we're going to be doing the same. So I sold everything. I left everything behind in the city and I moved to the beach. Moving to the beach, I didn't know English and I didn't speak English. So it was just the base English. So everyone who was talking to me, I didn't understand. I could just read signs and things like that. So I just started to learn English at the time on the April 2020. And because I was just looking for someone to practice English, I met this guy. And this guy was talking because he was learning Spanish. I was learning English, so we were just exchange knowledge. So he was sending me some links. And the links was about Bitcoin and government and politician. And I remember one of the things that he told me, and it was very important now for me, because basically he pushed me very soft to the rabbit hole. And he told me, don't take the copy shot. And he was explaining me why. At the time, I didn't like the idea of the government because I was paying taxes. But so I went into my cell phone and I was just looking and reading all the stuff that he sent me on the links. And he sent me links about Bitcoin. And he was talking about Bitcoin. And he told me one thing. He was here in El Salvador because he was going to sell one of the Bitcoin ATMs in El Tunco. And he did it. If you have any time to visit El Tunco in El Salvador, you're going to find this ATM there. So basically, he pushed me very soft into the Bitcoin. He didn't tell me about Bitcoin. He didn't tell me, learn about Bitcoin, read about Bitcoin, investigate, nothing like that. He just sent me links, and it was like a soft introduction to the Bitcoin life. Mm-hmm. I'm very grateful about that.
So a quick follow-up question there. Do you think that if someone had been more aggressive in telling you about Bitcoin, that would have been a turnoff? Or I'm curious to know, do you think that the way that you were introduced to it was the way that just was going to work best for you? Because that might be something that other people listening to this podcast could learn from.
Yes, I think because the way I am, I think this soft way, it was perfect for me. Something that I don't like because the life that I have when I was a child, it was when people forced me to do something or pushed me to do something. And I always say no, even if it's a good stuff, but I didn't review about this. If somebody's like just very pushy, I say no. So the way that he did it was perfect, at least for me. So I think it was some kind of psychological thing. And he did maybe a scan to me the way that I was. Or maybe he was the way that he just teach people to get into Bitcoin. I don't think he was meant to introduce me to Bitcoin. Like, I mean, everyone is sharing the Bitcoin story and one another one to get into Bitcoin, but he didn't seem as a very pushy person. So probably it was meant to be. Yeah.
Question number two is this: what's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
That would depend on the person. Because for me, I didn't get into Bitcoin because the price. Because you can buy at this price and then increase the value. That's very important because the deflation of the Bitcoin is amazing. But for me, it was decentralized money. It was something that nobody can control to me. And at least for me, that's the most important thing. It's like nobody can know how much I earn, what I, how or where I spend my money. Nobody can know what I do with my money, if I'm saving the money, if I'm spending my money. And I like the privacy of Bitcoin. Yeah. I love that. And nobody can take my money from me. Even nobody can take taxes with my Bitcoin.
Question number three, what is the Bitcoin resource you most recommend to other people?
After knowing about Bitcoin on those links, one guy told me, read the Bitcoin Standard. And I remember it took a long time to think about it. Then I realized that I was spending my time or wasting my time. So I started to read the Bitcoin Standard and I love it. But because I consider myself as an anarchist and a lot of things doesn't match in my head about government, health, control, taxes. When I read the Fiat Standard, made click to me. So it's like telling you why you should use Bitcoin. Basically, the Bitcoin Standard explained to you what is Bitcoin. But when you read the book of the Fiat Standard from Safety, you say like, definitely I need this money. I need to get into Bitcoin. And I want to live a decentralized life. And I don't think the fiat food, the fiat system, the fiat university, the fiat school, high school, it's perfect for someone. Like, even for people who doesn't understand why they should separate from the government, everyone, this is what everyone wants. No, everyone needs. Yeah. Like, even if we don't know, like, we really wish this kind of life. So when you understand and read this book, you love Bitcoin.
Question number four, beyond Bitcoin, what's a resource, tool, or idea that's been helpful to you or your work recently?
One of the things that helped to my business is the social media. But when I receive private information from my clients, I need to keep it private. So I think that the centralization of the social media and the way that we can communicate, it's very important for me. One of the tools that I found very interesting was all those apps that is between you and me.
As a follow-up to that, what types of apps are those, like peer-to-peer apps that you're talking about? Are there some that you would recommend to people to check out?
Yeah, for example, Proton Email is one of the best tools. As an email, I love Orange Peel app. And you can get all my, because my clients are just Bitcoiners. This is the way that I can filter that is a good or bad person. When they get into Bitcoin, you can trust these people. If they are really deep into Bitcoin, I know that I can trust these people. So when I receive text in the app, Orange Peel app, I like it. If it's from Nostrum, I like it too. And the new app, Kit, I love it. It's like all the conversation there is very private and you can have like a peer-to-peer, because I don't think we need somebody in the middle. Like banks, always in the middle. Government, always in the middle. Like if you go to email, always is somebody in the middle. They can just take all the information that you have there. I don't trust to nobody else than myself and the other person that I'm talking to.
Now we have what we call our final arbitrary but insightful question, and it's this. As a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
This is something that my daddy teach me when I was a kid. He always say, no, you cannot go. No, you cannot do. I'm from a Latino country. So you can imagine what does it mean to have a man in your life. My dad said, because I grew up between three siblings. So they are three men. So I was the only little weak woman for my daddy. Mm. So he was just trying to protect me, but I always made the question, why not? Like, everyone is going outside. You're going to go. You're a girl. Why not? And I was always, why not? Why not? And I think that make you feel stronger. Like, the way that you think, it's like, why not? Mm. And when I want to reach my goal, and I say, this is my goal, why not? And I always think that I can just reach more than I have reached in my life. And it's not just why, it's why not? Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I want this, yeah, why not? What I should do? What is the way to get to the goal? And yeah, why not?
If you were hit by a bus right now, could your family access your Bitcoin? When's the right time to stop hodling and use Bitcoin to impact your family's lives, not just yours? What if Bitcoin doesn't reach the value you expect, or it takes longer to reach that value? Do you have a plan? Do you have the proper trust structure to avoid probate, maintain your privacy, and minimize taxes? Do you want to avoid taxes to stack more sats or leverage your stack without selling? Should you add Bitcoin to your business's balance sheet? Are you truly confident in your self-custody setup? If any of those questions made you stop and think, you probably realize that simply buying and holding Bitcoin is not a complete financial plan. That's where Strong Wealth comes in. Orange-pilled advisors blending traditional financial planning with deep Bitcoin expertise, giving you the best of both worlds, so you can sleep peacefully knowing you're making the right moves for your family no matter what happens. Schedule a free call at strongwealth.net. That's strongwealth.net. Strong Wealth, wealth management for Bitcoiners by Bitcoiners. Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out: Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at Velus Commerce. Let's make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era. Just to your point a moment ago, you know, you're reaching higher, you're reaching further, you're asking why not. We're here today to talk about your business, Sandy Waves. I know there are a lot of Bitcoiners who are interested in El Salvador, and you were recommended to me by a couple of people who have been on past podcast episodes to talk to. I think a lot of people are going to be interested to hear about what they should look for when it comes to visiting El Salvador. Maybe just to start off today, could you share with us about your business and what people listening today can expect if they wanted to connect with you in the future for a trip to El Salvador?
Yeah. If somebody's interested in visiting my country, El Salvador, I really recommend it. This is the so-called and known country as a Bitcoin country, because the legal tender in our country is Bitcoin. So if they have projects or technological apps, or they want to implement new technologies, El Salvador is the country. To come here, set up a business, or move your business from another country. And if you want a peaceful life, living at the beach, or maybe in the city, peaceful place, cheer people, always smiling, very helpful, El Salvador is the place. And I think everything is changing already. I don't like governments, but I think if everyone is going to have a government, at least it's going to be one who is friendly with Bitcoin and give you the liberty and respect the private property. So we have been changing a lot. We're one of the safest country in America now. I can say America, but compared with a lot of countries in Europe, in Africa, we're one of the best country around the world right now because the implementation of the violence in El Salvador. So, you know, the government has the monopoly of the violence, and he implemented very well, putting all the gang members and criminals on prison. So they are going to be the rest of their lives there. And everyone who wants to unrespect the private property to someone, they are going direct to jail. So living in a safe place, I think, is very important for every one of us. And they are welcome to get to El Salvador, connect with me through my Twitter, email, or my webpage.
And when it comes to your business, do you help people to plan trips, or is it like whenever they get there, you're the person that can show them around? What are some of the things that you provide to your clients?
Ideally, it will be if they contact me before coming to El Salvador. But if they are already here, I can assist them if they fit in my schedule. If not, I'm going to assign another of my people or my agent. So I have different services in my business. So basically, we're a concierge travel assistant. So everything that they need in El Salvador, we can assist with it. For example, if they need real estate for rent or to buy, and if they need a car, we can help them to buy a car, or we can help them to rent a car. So I have cars available, houses available for rent. If they want to move to El Salvador and they need the residential or citizenship, we can assist with that. And basically, we do tours too. This is the way that I started tours. And then I realized that people want to move to El Salvador, not just to visit El Salvador. So we have more services like that. So if they have any question about Salvador, send me an email and I'm going to talk with them and assist with that as a travel concierge.
And I'm guessing that people can pay in Bitcoin. Bitcoin is preferred as payment. How does that work? And then also, what are some of the services you use as a business owner that help you to interact with Bitcoin?
It's always Bitcoin preferred because I don't buy Bitcoin. I just accept Bitcoin as a payment, and that's the best way to have Bitcoin. So I don't have to go and buy Bitcoin and move with cash. I don't like fiat. The dirty fiat is out of my life now. But I'm not going to deny the couple of my clients. The app didn't work very well because the internet or something happened with their cell phones. And two of my clients paid me with cash. So I went direct to the ATM and bought my Bitcoin. But for me, I have two different tools that I use. For example, my Bitcoin wallet that I can move Lightning and on-chain transactions. And one to live in El Salvador because I had to visit different places in El Salvador and they don't accept Bitcoin yet, because I know that in the future, everyone is going to accept Bitcoin for the way that Bitcoin is moving around the country. And because the education of different associations in El Salvador, everyone is getting educated about Bitcoin. But I use one of the app that is Tito Banks. So this Tito Banks is very useful for me because I can send my Bitcoin to the card and I can pay in any place with my card. Yeah, so I love Tito Banks. And I use Phoenix. And one of my favorite is Blink because I can get discount in different places here in El Salvador. And almost everyone use Blink app. Yeah.
Well, so Phoenix is one of the handful of wallets that we don't have access to in the United States anymore. Blink as well, which is unfortunate. Does Blink actually give you discounts to use it, or is it other stores give you discounts if you use Blink?
It is the stores because they want to accept Bitcoin as me. They encourage you to pay with Blink. It's like they accept Bitcoin with the Blink app. Mm-hmm. Like you can pay with any app. Mm-hmm. But sometimes if you pay with Blink, they just give you a discount. Mm-hmm. That's cool. I didn't need a discount, but you know, like if I save a couple of sats, that's cool.
And so then I guess the next question is for people who are planning to visit El Salvador, what are some of the places, like the most popular tourist attractions that people like, that your clients have liked to go to?
The three top tours is Bitcoin Beach, Bitcoin City, that is a mountain in Berlin that these people that started circular economy. And the last one is the volcano of Santa Ana. It's a beautiful place close to the lake. You have a beautiful, beautiful view there. And the weather is very cool. So these three tours are the top in my business. Yeah. But also, I made a real estate tour for everyone who is moving to El Salvador. So they asked me to do the real estate tour. So I just take people to different places that they can move. And I can explain where and how they can live there, the rates, and where is the grocery store, where they can, how they can live in El Salvador. And they find it very, very easy. And they can live in Bitcoin standard too, in the way that I teach.
Now, what's real estate been like over the last few years? I'm guessing it's probably increased in price. Is it still fairly affordable to get a decent place in the city or elsewhere in El Salvador?
Yeah, the prices are increasing. I'm happy for that because, you know, I do real estate, but there's different rates for everyone. For example, Salvadorians can get the Salvadorian rate. So even for a Salvadorian in the past, they couldn't move to the beach. It's really difficult for a normal Salvadorian to live by the beach because the economy in El Salvador has been very poor. So everything is improving right now. But for a foreigner, they can live by the beach for the same rate that they live in New York in a little apartment. So they, for example, normal rate by the beach could be between 1,000 and 3,000 for a house if you rent. And a house, if you want to buy a house or apartment, could be like by the beach, for example. But in the city, maybe the same. It would depend the place or the area where you want to live. But with less than $300,000, you can find a beautiful place by the beach, even cheaper than that. It will depend what community you are. If you want a private community, gated community, or if you want an open place, if you're close to a big road or a mall, that will depend. Yeah.
So another thing, you know, you just shared a few moments ago, some of the more popular tourist attractions or places that Bitcoiners want to visit. What are some places like the more hidden gem locations in El Salvador that if someone wants to go there and maybe visit one or two more touristy places, but also want to see some really cool places that aren't as popular in El Salvador, what would some of those places be that you've taken people to?
El Salvador is a very small country. So basically you can do mountain, beach at the same time and go to the city. But one of the places that I love is the mountain. So Ruta Las Flores, it was one of the places, but it's a popular place. But beside the popular places, you can go to the hiding places there. And if you go to Suchitoto is a lake and also is a city. And it's popular, but you have like hiding places over there too. So no matter where you go, you can find those hiding places too. So it's matter to know El Salvador very well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but basically, you can know everything about El Salvador, and basically everything is known, but you can find the unknown places too.
So one other thing I'd be interested to hear from you about is how the Bitcoin adoption in El Salvador is going. I've heard that the uptake as far as people using Bitcoin on a day-to-day basis is a little slower than some had anticipated. It's probably realistic that it's a little bit more of a slow adoption rate. But how are people, you know, just everyday citizens, how are they tending to interact with Bitcoin? How frequently is it something they're using for everyday purchases? What's it like right now on the ground?
something that helped the adoption of the Bitcoin, or at least to get the knowledge of the Bitcoin, it was when Nayib Bukele implemented the new law about make Bitcoin legal tender. So he launched this app, Chivo Wallet. The Chivo Wallet, the quality of the app is very bad, but at least everyone, or at least a majority of the people, decided to take $30 that he sent through the app. And because he wanted to get the $30 free, they opened the wallet. So they realized how Bitcoin works and they kept the wallet. So sometimes I'm visiting the city of San Salvador. Not too many restaurants or places are accepting Bitcoin there. But every time that I get to a place, I was asking all the time, do you accept Bitcoin? And they say, no, we do not accept Bitcoin. But I keep going to the same place and I made the same question. Can I pay you with Bitcoin? And they say, like, no. But after a lot of time and too many times asking the same question, they realize that the question is not yet. And sometimes the play doesn't accept Bitcoin, but somebody has a wallet. And it feels like a personal business for someone. They say, like, I can accept Bitcoin. I have my wallet. And then, of course, they are going to just withdraw money from the ATM, because we have this Chivo ATM that you can withdraw money without any fee. And you can buy Bitcoin without any fees if you're a Salvadorian. So I found a lot of people telling me, not yet. And a couple of them told me, I have my personal wallet, so I can accept Bitcoin, and then I can just put the money on the business. Mm-hmm. So the increase of the people and businesses accepting Bitcoin is incredible. So every time that I go to a place, I suggest them to accept Bitcoin. And if they don't want to get the Bitcoin, they can just accept the Bitcoin and, you know, like, make it dollars or withdraw dollars with them. Yeah, convert on dollars. And this is the way that they can have Bitcoiners as a customers.
So hopefully people who are planning to go to El Salvador in the future will reach out to you. They now have someone that they, a contact they know they can have in country whenever they're looking to plan their trip. What would be some final thoughts that you would have for, you know, future El Salvador travelers when it comes to getting things set up, reaching out to you, making sure they have as successful of a visit and experience with El Salvador as possible?
The first thing that I will suggest to the people is get in contact with me. That's for free. They can just get in contact with me. I'm not going to charge for questions. I accept tips, but I can help them to understand how El Salvador works. It's very easy, but if you want to migrate to El Salvador and you want to move, like, coming with all your luggage, I would suggest to get in contact with me so I can suggest what is the documentation that they need to bring to El Salvador. And if they just want to travel, we have a beautiful weather mostly of the time. This month, it was that we passed and we're still in this month. It had been raining a lot, but mostly every year it's a beautiful winter, not raining too much, but right now it's raining too much. So I would suggest what time come to El Salvador and what are the expectations when they come to El Salvador. So they can have a good time here in El Salvador. Yeah. So perfect. If they can tag me first, that would be amazing. Or just keep looking at my Twitter and I'm going to be posting about El Salvador and how's the weather and what to do in El Salvador.
And we'll have your contact information in the show notes, but what's your preferred method? Is Twitter the best thing? Email? How would you like for people to reach out to you? Like, what's the way that you're best set up for right now?
Mostly all my clients do email and Twitter. So they can do Twitter and email if they want. I have my WhatsApp too. So they can see my website, sandy.sv. And all my contact numbers, emails are there. So if they want to just make an appointment or a video call with me, just a call, we can schedule it and I can help them. And also I receive messages through Twitter. So that's a good way. This is the way that we got in contact.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, Sandy, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Josh.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. If you want to reach out to either me or Sandy, you can find those links down in the show notes. And next time you're looking to visit El Salvador, definitely look up Sandy Waves. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading well.